The fight for the future is now.
This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a packed, jam-packed 3 hours of InfoWars War Room transmission for you, so much so that I have to take this first 5 minutes to really lay it out before I get our great guest, Dan Lyman, on today in the next segment here on this Wednesday, March 4th, 2020. Owen Schroyer with you for the next 3 hours. Big coronavirus news. We'll update you on that. Obviously, the Super Tuesday results for the Democrat Party last night. We saw Joe Biden. Yeah, that Joe Biden, the one that doesn't know what day it is, doesn't know what state he's in. His campaign advisor's first duty every morning is to remind him that he's even running for president. Yeah, that Joe Biden. We saw the news from the Roger Stone case yesterday, where now the judge is issuing, from my understanding, we'll have Tyler Nixon on at 4 to really get into the weeds in this deal, because I almost can't even believe it. It's like, it's one of those things where I know it, but I need to get someone else to confirm it, just because it's like I have to pinch myself type of thing. But the judge now issuing free legal consultation to the jury? Wow. So we're going to get into how important that is and what that means in the Roger Stone case with Tyler Nixon coming up. Dan Lyman with me is going to talk about what's going on in Europe right now. Obviously, Italy with the coronavirus, and then in Greece, where the borders are just being invaded right now. I know that Dan Lyman has his pulse on those stories. I may try to pick his brain on some other activity in Europe, like what's going on in Sweden, but we'll see what Dan Lyman is focusing on. There's still a lot of political aftermath we're going to be measuring after the Biden surprise last night. Other coronavirus developments, as far as the Olympics are concerned, America is concerned, and then the latest out of China when it comes to the official narrative on the coronavirus. And then I've also got a stack of cultural news, worldly news that we'll get to as well. And in the third hour, if I can really be focused here today, and I think I can, I will take your phone calls on everything we've covered. And the reason I think I can be focused today, I'm usually getting into studio, if I'm lucky, at 2:30. I'm usually finishing up my news aggregation right up till about 2:45, and I'm in studio at 2:50, and the crew has to berate me for getting in so late. But I was in studio early today, which means I had enough time to down my Turbo Force and my Brain Force Plus before the start of the show. Normally, I'm kind of running behind, and I do it in the first 60-second break, down the Brain Force Plus with the Turbo Force. I was able to do it about 10 minutes ago, so I'm already getting into prime mental clarity, prime mental acuity here. And so we're going to be ripping and roaring through these full 3 hours without a lull. And I was actually just saying this because I actually am running a little low on Turbo Force, and I think the crew may have snuck in here and nabbed a couple of my packets. But that's okay. They need the energy too. But I was thinking, oh no, like I'm here low on Turbo Force, but then I remembered I have my emergency stash, but I won't need it because Turbo Force is readily available right now at InfoWarsStore.com, back in stock, 40% off. So that means I need to go double down on my order to make sure that we have a backup stash so that the crew has plenty of Turbo Force, I have plenty of Turbo Force, and we're not, when we see it that we're run out at InfoWarsStore.com, we're not panicked looking around for my secret stash that they always like to tap into. So I'm ready to go. Dan Lyman's ready to go. The crew is ready to go. I hope that you are ready to go. Sharing the links to newswars.com/show, infowars.com/show, and band.video so that people can tune in and see next year's news today, tomorrow's news today with myself, Dan Lyman, Tyler Nixon, and others. We'll be right back. This is the InfoWars War Room, brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com, live at band.video. I'm your host, Owen Schroyer, with you for the next 3 hours. We've got a ton of news we're going to get to. Great guests coming up. And in fact, Dan Lyman is on with us right now. And I'm not going to waste any time going to Dan because I know he's got a lot to talk about. We got a lot of news developing right now. Dan, two big stories I would imagine that you're covering right now. That would be what's going on in Greece with the border, with the Turkish border, with the Greek army and the storming of that border. And then in Italy with the outbreak of coronavirus, death toll now hitting 107. Dan, where do you want to start? Because really they all are kind of the same issue, but they're separate looming issues, specifically when it comes to Greece and Turkey and that border. Obviously, lack of borders, we'll say that, has been a major political issue for some in Europe, and now is becoming a health issue for some in Europe. But we saw violence at the border in Greece, where the Greek army is trying to defend their borders, and they're being overrun by hordes of EU migration agenda, and as well as Erdogan out of Turkey saying, yeah, we're just going to flood you with migrants, nothing you can do about it. So what is the latest there? What's going on in Greece? What are people in Europe saying about this?
Good to be back with you as always, Owen. Why don't we start at a story where these two agendas, these two issues that are affecting Europe intersect. We just published this actually last night on Europe.infowars.com. Hungary, recently they announced that they have sealed off their border. Now, that might sound like a surprise to some because everyone who knows what's going on in Europe assumes Hungary's borders are sealed, but they do have what is called a transit zone on their southern border where migrants are technically allowed to show up and apply for asylum, and they have to wait within this transit zone in order to wait to see if their application will be approved and if they will be allowed on into Hungary, which of course is a rare case, and you don't get too many asylum applications at the border of Hungary these days. So they decided to actually to close the transit zones as well, and they've cited the fact that many of the migrants that are trying to pass from Turkey into Greece are actually, they're not, most of them are not from Syria, according to the Hungarian officials, which is confirms reports that I've seen elsewhere. Many of them are from Afghanistan, Pakistan, and also Iran. And many of them have passed through Iran in order to reach the border there. And Hungary has tied these two issues together and said they can't risk a coronavirus entering the country, and they can't risk even the people, the migrants that are currently in the transit zone. They said there are a little over 200 of them right now also contracting coronavirus. Semi-ironically, Hungary just announced their first two cases of coronavirus in the country, and they are both Iranian students. So Iranians have actually brought coronavirus into many countries now in Europe at this point, and they are often the first cases, as we saw also in Estonia. That's where those two issues intersect. And I think in many ways we've seen that in Italy. Italy has one of the most porous borders in Europe, and they have one of the worst outbreaks now, which is affecting the rest of Europe. And as you can imagine, it's starting to really affect Switzerland, where I am here now.
You know, this is honestly, it's so complex. I'm trying to decide where to go next here with you because I'm sitting here and I'm wondering, and you laid it out perfectly. It's like, where is the inflow here? Like, if there was a flow chart, because we know about the EU agenda with open borders, and we know how Turkey has used that as geopolitical leverage to say, oh, we're either going to have our borders open if you don't do what we want geopolitically in the region, or we'll maybe negotiate with you, close our borders. But they use that as kind of a threat, really. So it's weird because you mentioned Iran and people coming from Iran, and there's a whole other backstory with that, with China and Iran and China. They have something to do with this coronavirus spreading wittingly or unwittingly. But I mean, in just a brief synopsis, to focus on the migration issue, if you could have a flow chart, if you could kind of read out a flow chart, what would that look like? Where are the people coming from? Where are they trying to go? What would that flow chart look like just for the audience to have a better understanding of this issue, and myself included, because it really is complex?
Absolutely. At this current moment, the majority of migrants who are either attempting to enter Europe or have been entering Europe are entering through Greece. And until recently, in the past few months, they've been entering by boat to the Greek islands. Now, Greece has been battling this issue. It's caused a lot of strife within the country because you have the locals have had they're up to their eyebrows and they've actually been rioting on the islands in Greece to protest against the migrants that are there and to protest against plans to build semi-permanent migrant centers on their islands. They said, we've had enough. We don't want any more migrants here. Now, this was developing for months prior to this latest issue. So now you have migrants that are amassed on the land border between Turkey and Greece, and also the sea border between Turkey and Greece. And because Erdogan has basically announced that this is effectively a planned invasion, Greece has been forced basically to just lock down the border. And they're actually doing quite a good job of it right now. And they've basically suspended all asylum applications at this time, which has, of course, drawn the wrath of the United Nations, the Council on Human Rights and the refugees, the UNHCR, it's called, and then also from the EU has condemned that move as well. However, surprisingly, the EU is stepping up a bit, offering some support to Greece. EU nations are also offering their help to Greece, offering border patrol agents. Estonia just announced that they're willing to contribute agents as well as a couple of patrol boats to help the Greek Navy down in the islands there to prevent crossings. Now, from what I've seen, the latest report that I saw, Greece has prevented some nearly 33,000 illegal crossings just in the last few days since Erdogan announced the start of this invasion. And another interesting tidbit is it's not totally organic. There are many reports that indicate that Turkey is actually facilitating the invasion by busing migrants to the border, by emptying the prisons, by allowing migrants to take taxis to the border, by basically funding and bringing them right up to Greece's gates and basically saying, have at it. And then they end up in this kind of a no man's land where they're in between the two borders. And that's where you see the pileups and the really stunning pictures of thousands of migrants, mostly male and mostly very aggressive, trying to penetrate the Greek borders.
I mean, I really want to bear down on this issue with Dan Lyman, who's been following it and studying it so closely here, really, honestly, for my own understanding, too, because it has become so complex here. Correct me if I'm wrong here, Dan, but it sounds like there's almost three different classes of migrants right now. You have the political migrants that are being used by Turkey and the EU. Like you said, they're getting bussed in, boated in, taken out of prisons, funded by Soros. At least we've seen that in the West. We've seen the Visa card program that they've done. So these are kind of political migrants that end up in camps and get shifted from country to country. It almost becomes a lifestyle. Then you have people that are actually living in North Africa or Afghanistan that just have nothing. They literally have nothing. Their only hope is to find some migrant camp or to get somewhere and claim asylum. And then it also seems there's a third class, which is like religious dissidents or Islamic dissidents from Iran or other countries that just want to get out of oppressive regimes to try to get into Europe. We only have 50 seconds left. Is that an accurate synopsis of this, or is there more to it or less to it?
It's close. I would say that in general, the migrants coming from Africa and the migrants coming through Turkey, they're in a very similar class. And a lot of the African migrants actually end up coming through Iran and Turkey as well. You'll see if you look closely at the photos, a lot of African migrants now at the Greek border. But a lot of the migrants coming through the north of Africa are in a similar position as the ones that have been coming from the Middle East. They just come from a different direction, but they're also facilitated by groups, Soros groups, NGOs, in some cases.
Okay, okay. So they are all, so the three classes exist, but there are similarities between them, and the EU is actually involved. They have their fingerprints kind of on all of these different groups trying to facilitate their own agenda. All right, Dan Lyman, Europe.Infowars. He's going to be right back, folks. Don't go anywhere.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
No, that's not the Rocky theme song. That's the Shrimpzilla theme song. So that's just the reminder to the audience that this broadcast is powered by Shrimpzilla. And Shrimpzilla is powered by the products at InfoWarsStore.com. That's right. He only runs in water purified by the water filters at InfoWarsStore.com. And he demands every hour on the hour one droplet of Super Male Vitality. That's what keeps Shrimpzilla running. That's what keeps the studio running. And your support at InfoWarsStore.com makes it all possible. Dan Lyman, just an absolute stud of journalism. And I'm a nostalgic person, I have to be honest. So it's kind of a nostalgic thing every time Dan comes on. We both came on board at InfoWars in 2016. So I always get reminded of that, Dan. What a journey it's been since then. Everything you've covered, everything we've done here at InfoWars. And I just remind the audience, because I'm grateful for the audience making it possible for InfoWars to be expanded, for Dan to get hired, for myself to get hired, for the War Room to be launched. And so, again, it's just a tip of my cap and a salute to the audience for making it all possible. And then just a tip of the cap to Dan, too, who just does such great work. Let's pick it up where we left off, Dan. We were talking about this migration issue in the EU, how it's being used politically, but now how also nations are faced with this really existential debate of what to do with their borders. And we see what's going on in Greece right now. When you look at the map, it makes more sense. It's like, oh, okay, of course they're coming in through Turkey. Of course they're coming in through the Greek islands. And then, of course, people trying to leave Iran, they come in from the other side. So it really is this kind of perfect storm of, call it illegal immigration, migration, whatever you want to call it. But I look at what's going on in Greece, Dan, and I want to try to humanize this for the audience, because Greece is a smaller nation, a lot of history there. It's one of the last nations in Europe that for like a tourist vibe, I've ever felt like, man, I really want to go see Greece. I really want to go see the Acropolis. I want to go see that history. But it's just like every day as the borders continue to be porous in Europe, every day as the EU continues to take over, Europe becomes less and less attractive to me as a tourist issue for obvious reasons. But I mean, what do you make of, I mean, what is Greece going to do? This is a proud nation. This is a very nationalistic nation in its history. What is Greece facing right now as its identity, as its borders, as everything is being threatened with this immigrant invasion? They're trying to stand up for their right to be a sovereign nation. There's now, we won't say battles, but there are skirmishes at the border seeming regularly now. So explain how the situation in Greece is so paramount, but then also can be looked at and in a wider lens viewed as this is what's going on in all of Europe.
Sure, absolutely. What you said about Greece being a beautiful country, being nationalistic people, great people, all true, totally true. I spent plenty of time down in the Greek islands. It is breathtakingly beautiful. Some of those islands are still great places to visit that are not overrun with migrants, of course. The ones closest to Turkey, it's a different story. And what's so unfortunate is that so many of the people on these islands, and in Greece in general, they're still struggling with the ripple effect from 2008, financial crisis. They have yet to recover from that. And then since the 2014-2015 migration crisis, they have yet to recover from that as well. So on these islands that are closest to Turkey, basically on the frontier of Greece, they really have been dealing with a lot. And now they're dealing with this whole new surge that is just like, it's monumental. And it's been going on for months now. We've been covering this for months at InfoWars Europe. Last year, on record, 75,000 migrants crossed from Turkey into Greece. 60,000 of them came to the islands, and they come basically to a small handful of islands there, five islands. Namely, Lesbos is the one that people will hear of the most. There's Chios, there's Kos, Samos, and they have all been inundated with migrants for a long time who basically go into these facilities that were maybe meant to hold a few hundred or up to 1,000, perhaps, of refugees, of asylum seekers, let's say legitimate ones, maybe when they were constructed. And now they have sometimes 20,000 migrants in some of these facilities, and they're spilling out into the neighborhoods. So, you know, the Greeks have been confronted with this issue with very little help from their own government and very little help from the international community. And it really is unfortunate. It's heartbreaking to see. You can watch videos of locals just bawling their eyes out when they see what's happened into their towns, and the state of fear that many of them live in because of the amount of violence and crime that is brought to their islands. But now the issue is really starting to be, Europe is really starting to see that this is a major, massive issue that has been ignited by Turkey. It's basically a declaration of war by Erdogan on Europe. And Erdogan has said some very strong things that I can't even believe that the EU even still deals with him diplomatically, as he's warned that he would like to see Europeans not feel safe walking on their own streets. Things like that, just statements, the very belligerent statements, and now an act of war by my estimation.
Well, and I mean, not to focus on Greece here, it's just like, because I don't have any Greek blood, but I appreciate Greek culture. I have a friend who has whose family's from Greece. I attended his wedding. I got to see a Greek wedding. Very fun, very cool. And it's just like, wow, you see this small country being overrun. You see them almost have, I mean, the will is there, but like you said, there's no diplomatic action. There's no political action. There's no common sense action to have a strong border. They're getting overrun. And it's just a microcosm of what's going on in Europe. But, you know, speaking of culture being under attack here, what is going on in France now? Because I keep seeing these stories, and it got highlighted when the Notre Dame Cathedral obviously had a structure fire. But this is apparently going on every day. There's another viral video going around of a steeple at a church that was on fire. I mean, the stories are all over the place about how Catholic churches are being desecrated across France. What is going on with that? Yeah, there's the B-roll from the latest. What is the story on that? As far as I can tell, they never even had an answer for what happened at the Notre Dame Cathedral. They said it was construction related. I mean, I don't think that was ever really confirmed. So what's going on with the attack on Catholic churches in France?
Well, you see that attack on Catholic churches, frankly, happening, Orthodox Christian churches, Catholic churches happening across Europe. It's even back to the Greece thing, the migrants there are trashing Greek Orthodox churches. But yeah, in France, if I'm not mistaken, the last figure I saw is well north of 1,500 churches have been desecrated or burned or suffered some sort of attack just in the last couple of years, and it gets very little attention. It may be more than 2,000. I'd have to go back and check that. But yeah, that one that you were just playing, I don't recall the name. It's a Saint something with a T, just burned the other day. Of course, who can say there's that many coincidences and it all targets these churches, but you never hear about a mosque burning down,
oh,
of course.
No, yeah. Oh, these were all construction, you know, issues. Oh, okay, well, let's look at the, you know, unions or who's ever doing this construction. No, that's not the issue.
Absolutely not. And all of these churches that have been around for hundreds of years, in many cases, they're all burning down and just in the span of a couple of years, you know, who would actually believe that? Perhaps some Democrats who would vote for Joe Biden in the state.
Oh!
Really, really low IQ folks.
A zinger from Dan Lyman. All right, Dan, let's come back and let's now relate to how this is spreading the coronavirus, these open borders, and what Europeans are saying about this, because they know it's going on. They can't hide that. The media can't hide that, even though they're trying.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
The silent majority is no longer silent.
This is the War Room.
Dan Lyman is with us. Europe.infowars.com. And, you know, it's really ridiculous, Dan, the posturing of ignorance that we get from political leaders in Europe and in the media. This is a story from a year ago, but I bring it back because it's still going on today. And it just shows you the lack of will to do anything. And it shows you the ignorance of these people. This is from Newsweek last year, March 21st, 2019. Catholic churches are being desecrated across France and officials don't know why. They don't know why, Dan. They have no clue. Oh, we don't know what's going on. Oh, yeah. Coronavirus outbreak in Italy. Oh, we have no idea. It's like, are these people really that incompetent? Are they really that low IQ? Is there a political agenda afoot here? Dan Lyman, just kind of try to summarize all of it here in this segment here. The open border issue, the coronavirus outbreak in Italy, where now they're saying like people are afraid to even walk around in the streets You know, walking by around on foot is actually still a thing in a lot of Italian towns, going around on boat as well. Well, that's like being mitigated now. Schools are being shut down. We've been discussing what's been going on in Greece. We've talked about the political agenda. So just try to, I mean, how do you summarize all of this into one segment applying with the coronavirus outbreak, the open borders, Greece trying to defend its borders, and then the officials as they're watching European culture literally get burned to the ground? How do you summarize all this, Dan Lyman?
I think it is definitely a combination of two different factors. There is the incompetency, stupid people. You think about all the people that are doing really, really well in American politics right now, aside from a small handful, the people that are front runners of, you know, presidential campaigns right now. Very unintelligent, uninspiring, and just people that, I mean, you wouldn't take seriously at all unless they were somehow holding some position of power. But then also you have very corrupt people. You have people that are hell-bent on destroying Europe, destroying European culture, and ushering in an entirely new population here and subduing essentially the traditional, the native population. So there's a bit of column A and a bit of column B, and it's certainly a toxic brew. Although I think the good news is that with all of this, with the crisis that Europeans are facing, the many crises at the moment, I think that we will continue to see the rise of nationalist populism across the continent, and it will spark a further political revolution that we will see play out in the elections. And also now you're even seeing things being taken into their own hands in Greece, where they're throwing out mainstream media reporters, they're throwing out NGO operatives off the islands now because they're totally sick of them, because you know, that's kind of ground zero for where they operate, like we've talked about. But moving on to the coronavirus situation, this is definitely, it's a troubling situation. I know everyone has their own opinions as to what's really going on, how, you know, how deadly or how dangerous this virus is. But aside from all that, that doesn't really matter, because the ramifications for how everyday life is playing out are real, and they're being totally changed before our eyes. You have entire countries shutting down their schools. Now, that sounds like, okay, well, the kids don't go to school, but what are they going to do all day? In the United States, when kids aren't being fed twice a day at school, then we hear that they're not going to eat at all. Let's take that at face value. Is that true? Does that mean that many kids in Europe, for instance, or if they do that, pull the same thing in the United States, that kids will be going without two meals a day? Is that what's going to play out? I mean, it's just one ramification out of many out of what's going on with the coronavirus right now. And it goes much, much broader than that. I mean, in Switzerland here alone, everything is changing. There are schools that are closing already. You have they're banning all events that would have over 1,000 people. Some cantons, they're actually shutting down events ahead of time with even fewer people. You have people that are concerned to travel on public transportation. I know some airlines are actually restricting their flights to Switzerland now, as they have done to Italy. And so what happens when all the airfare change, all the air travel changes? And for instance, in Italy, when the tourism, as it is right now, being affected so deeply, they depend so much on that in the economy there. What happens when you wipe out this massive sector of the economy for an extended period of time? I just saw a photo posted to Twitter of a woman who claims she's on a sold-out flight from London to Milan. She's the only person on the airplane, it looks like. No one's flying to Milan right now. So the ramifications of the coronavirus are real, whether or not the virus itself is.
Well, and I'm so glad that you said that, because that's my whole thing, too. And I'm going to get into some of the stuff coming out of China. You know, we'll obviously hear all the angles about what's going on, and we'll have debates and we'll express concerns and we'll try to get to the bottom of it. Who knows if we ever will. But like you said, real world ramifications are already here. And we've got a hint of that going on in China, where I'm afraid that, again, what's really going on with the coronavirus? We can have the debates. Are they going to turn this into something where you can't even cross a border without having your temperature checked, giving blood, you know, whatever else the case may be, shutting down travel? I mean, I'm all for suspending air travel. I would shut down international flights to America at least for like a couple weeks till we can really figure out the ramifications as far as this disease or this virus is concerned. But I mean, Switzerland is a hard country to get into already. And so the fact that they're doubling down that security, you know, it tells you that they're considering this. But that's what I'm afraid of, Dan. I'm afraid that you look at a situation where, oh, you can't, maybe it's not now, maybe it's the next one, oh, you can't leave your house. You can't travel on the bus. You can't cross the bridge. You can't cross over the state line. You can't cross over the border. You can't get on an airplane without submitting a fever check or a blood test or, you know, something like that. They're definitely using this virus to instill that fear. And like 9/11, this could be a world-changing event now where it just changes the average commute, the average travel, the average just going to the grocery store.
Well, I'll give you two examples as to what's going on in Europe, too, that will corroborate what you just said. Now, I'm hearing reports out of Iceland. They are now up to 16, maybe 24 confirmed cases. As you can imagine, Iceland, a very small country, isolated in the middle of nowhere, population around 350,000. Two-thirds of that is in Reykjavik. So if anything goes sideways in Reykjavik, you have just basically could contain everyone in the city fairly easily if you had a large enough force. And you could just totally lock down a city. Now, I'm hearing that Icelanders who have been told to self-quarantine in their homes, because obviously when you have so-and-so amount of confirmed cases, you have many hundreds more that are suspected or that could be. So the authorities will tell people to self-quarantine in their homes while they await testing or to see if any symptoms develop. I'm hearing that if people leave their homes, they're being met immediately by police who escort them back into their homes. That's just one example. Now, of course, we don't want people who are sick getting out into the public too much. But if you have, let's say, for instance, in Geneva the other day, they had a confirmed case, a young man that works in Geneva, apparently, and the authorities tracked down 15 of his close friends and colleagues and quarantined them immediately. Now, can you imagine if you just happen to tangentially know somebody and all of a sudden police are on your doorstep and you're told, hey, you can't leave the house for 2 weeks? What if you're not prepared? What if you what if you have a job that doesn't allow you to take 2 weeks? Stuff like that, even in an emergency or if you can't telecommunicate. This has far-reaching, broad implications as to how this can play out. And it troubles me because I don't know how governments are going to use this to their advantage. And I really hope that they don't. And I hope that, we get an honorable response. But nothing that they've done in the past really indicates that that's the case if this thing continues to spread out of control like it seems to be.
Well, and that's my fear, too. And again, I'm sitting here thinking about, what are solutions to all this stuff? What are the solutions? And it's very complex. And the easiest thing is it's simple. You got to just shut down the borders. That is the simplest way to try to figure this out. And then you go from there, because that just it takes so much of the complicity out of this issue when you don't have all of this travel going back and forth. But they'll never do that, because that's part of the political agenda 101. All right, Dan, what is coming up on europe.infowars.com?
Well, we just reported today, you can go check this out, it just published at europe.infowars.com, the Swiss military actually just quarantined all active duty servicemen. There, you can go read that right now. And we're reporting every day on the situation developing here in Europe. And you can check my Twitter feed at Citizen Analyst for updates as well.
Dan Lyman, which, by the way, he gave credit to Phoenix Rising, the young reporter, stood up for his honor, too, with that interview. So Dan Lyman, a good follow on Twitter, too. All right, Dan, europe.infowars.com. We'll talk soon, Dan.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Segment of the first hour of the InfoWars War Room. I'm going to focus on last night's Super Tuesday results before Tyler Nixon comes on to talk Roger Stone and that corrupt judge with me. And also some other news. And then, like I said, if I can do my due diligence with all this news, I plan on opening up the phone lines in the third hour to get your response to everything. Last night, now, the crew is working on something which may pan out, it may not, which is basically me debating with myself yesterday what's going to happen with the results. Because if you recall, I had, and this wasn't a prediction of the results. This was just where I thought the Democrat Party would go. Bloomberg was my favorite. Now, he's dropped out since. So obviously he's off the table. And you still have Warren who has, but see, it's all so shaken up now, honestly. It's really all so shaken up now that you kind of have to pinch yourself to just make sure you're not dreaming before you even talk about this stuff. But I was saying yesterday, it's like, if you bet on the Democrats cheating and how rigged the media and everything is, then Biden's the obvious bet. If you go with the organic grassroots, who's the real leader of this, you go with Bernie Sanders. And you kind of saw that play out. Now, I can't believe Bloomberg dropped out. That to me was stunning. I thought he'd at least wait it out with all that cash. But he paid $500 million to kind of just get his name in the headlines for a month or two. And then he bows out. But you saw the writing on the wall, ladies and gentlemen. And we predicted it. I mean, you can go look at the headlines. As soon as I saw everyone endorsing Biden, all the dropouts and everybody endorsing Biden, you knew that's who the Democrats were going with. Stunningly. But that was it. See, you're still sitting here with me probably like, wait, Joe Biden, this is the guy who doesn't know what state he's in, doesn't know what he's running for, I don't even want to describe the stuff he does around children. I mean, sniffing children, groping children, biting his wife's finger during a deal. I mean, it's like, how? I mean, what? You can't even believe this is the guy they're going with. And so you always have to remember that there's always something else behind the Democrats. Now, you look at that recent video of Biden sniffing a baby. That's the creepiest thing I've ever seen. And I've got people saying, oh, I have aunts that sniff babies or I like sniffing. No, not like this. Okay, if you maybe sniff like your nephew or your, you know, niece or something like that or granddaughter. Okay, maybe. This is a weird sniff. Look, this is a guy, Joe Biden, who probably realizes he just doesn't have much time left. And to me, he's sniffing that baby like nostalgia, like adrenochrome. Like, oh, I remember what it was like. Like, oh, yeah. Like, he got high off that, man. Like, he got high. Like, he saw that baby and he was like, oh, yeah. Oh, your essence. Oh, yeah. And you can see it, folks. That is not normal. That's a guy getting pleasure off of it. That's a demonic spirit getting pleasure off of that, wishing he could suck that baby's adrenochrome right out of its neck. But I almost don't even want to sit here and talk about it. But let's go ahead and go to this highlight reel. Because this is what they've done, folks. We can't believe it. Joe Biden, I mean, seriously, senile, dementia, what the hell's going on? Doesn't know where he is half the time. Doesn't know what office he's running for. Sniffing children, hitting on girls, talking about kids groping his legs. I mean, do you understand? Like, Biden, and it's almost maybe that's destiny. Biden is now personifying, unwittingly, everything that these people are, folks. And he's just checked out. He's just checked out mentally. So he's just going along like, oh, yeah, I remember I used to have all kinds of kids crawling on my knees and bouncing up and down. And then he calls them roaches around black children. Like, what do you think he's talking about, folks? Goes up to a kid, sniffs its neck like he's getting high off adrenochrome. Folks, he is showing you everything that they're about behind closed doors. Children in your pool for entertainment. Yeah, folks, Biden's showing you all of it. Now, again, you measure it. What do you measure? Well, they're going with Biden for a reason, not because of his political accomplishments or acumen or popularity, but because he can get in there, cover up all their crimes, be a totally controlled puppet. And he's like the last ditch effort they have of someone who's totally compromised, totally corrupt, totally criminal. But here is a highlight reel of some of the No Malarkey Joe corn pop tour. This is who the Democrats are going with as of right now. Check out this highlight reel of Joe Biden, now the leading candidate for Democrat nominee.
Just as bright and just as talented as white kids. Oh, I sit on the stand. And it get hot. I got hairy legs that turn blonde in the sun. We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by go. You know the thing.
I want to be clear. I'm not going nuts. I'm not sure whether it was a medical school or where the hell I spoke, but it was on a campus.
Apology enough, Mr. Vice President.
Why attack Sanders?
Why? You're getting nervous, man. Calm down. It's okay.
Tomorrow's Superstar Tuesday, and I want to thank you all. I tell you what, I'm rushing ahead, aren't I?
And the kids used to come up and reach in the pool and rub my leg down so it was straight and then watch the hair come back up again. They'd look at it. So I learned about roaches. I learned about kids jumping on my lap.
What?
And I've loved kids jumping on my lap.
A damn liar, man. That's not true. And no one has ever said that. No one has heard that. But look, fat. Look, here's the deal. Here's the deal.
Almost calls a guy a fat ass.
The beauty of it. And what a neat town. This is sort of a.
Is what you do here in Iowa.
Keep saying he's in Iowa. He's in New Hampshire.
In New Hampshire, for example.
By the way, he's up there with John Kerry, who's probably violating the Logan Act and other such things. So he's endorsing Biden, too. Go figure.
Right here.
There's more clips. Biden just doesn't know what state he's in. It has the caption of where he's at. He says the wrong state.
Alzheimer's and as well as diabetes. Ladies and gentlemen.
Give me a break. Anybody who can throw coal into a furnace can learn how to program, for God's sake.
The president thinks, my friend from Vermont thinks that $1.2 billion. So you go ahead and you stack spaghetti sauce at a store and in a supermarket.
Oh.
You control the guy or the woman who brings out the carts on a forklift. What happened? You're a lying dog faced pony soldier. You said you were, but
there's no way the Democrats put that on stage with Trump.
We got to stop building and replacing pipelines.
You have to go vote for somebody else.
All right, thanks.
Three former chairs of the Black Caucus, the only African American woman that ever been elected to the United States Senate, a whole range of people.
No,
my point
that's
is
not true. The other
that's
one
not
is
true.
Here.
Well, I'm looking forward to appointing the first African American woman to the United States Senate.
Appointing?
150 million people have been killed since 2007 when Bernie voted to exempt the gun manufacturers from liability. My name's Joe Biden. I'm a Democratic candidate for the United States Senate. Look me over. If you like what you see, help out. If not, vote for the other guy. Give me a look, though, okay?
But guess what? If you elect me, you're not going to have your taxes are going to be raised, not cut, if you benefit from that.
Now we need to stand behind Jamie Harrison, the next president of the United States, next senator.
Doesn't even know who's endorsing.
All right, Chuck. Thank you very much.
All right. It's Chris,
I mean,
but anyway.
Chris.
Doesn't even know who's he's interviewing with. Put together by @ALX on Twitter.
Back to back. Anyway,
no, it's okay.
You do it.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm Joe Biden.
They would have to
buy
in. Have
to buy in. If she qualifies,
are you forgetting what you said 2 minutes ago?
Oh. So think about it, guys. This is what the Democrats are getting behind. I mean, they got something up their sleeve, folks. They got something up their sleeve. I don't know what. I don't know if it's Hillary Clinton. People are rumoring Michelle Obama. I don't think that's the case, but they got something up their sleeve. So for whatever reason, they're using Biden right now to keep Bernie Sanders out, and then they're going to pull some switcheroo or do some rig job at a brokered convention because there is just, but then maybe there is, folks. I mean, that's the thing. These people are so out of touch with reality, we may even be underestimating them. Maybe they really think that Biden can hold his own on any stage with Trump. But let me tell you, if the Democrats have a single IQ point left, if the Democrats have any touch with humanity and common sense left, there's no way they plan on having Biden on that debate stage with President Trump. There's just no way. And by the way, you remember that one clip where he says, oh, you know the thing, you know the thing. It's weird, but if it's Satan, you know, he would never say the word God. He would never say the word the creator. And so there's almost like something going on there. It's like these people are so committed to Satan. These people are so committed to evil. They can't even put the Lord's name on their lips. They can't even say creator because they've tried to kill God so much. They can't even breathe life back into God.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show. The fight
for the future is now.
This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
All right, I'm going to finish up with this results coverage from last night's Super Tuesday results. And then Tyler Nixon joins me to discuss the latest in the Roger Stone case with this just unbelievably corrupt judge. I'm going to do my best to maintain myself. there's certain topics that I kind of lose control. This almost did it right there. Almost said something I regret, but this judge is one of those cases. Now, but let's go back to the results. Here's some of the headlines. Joe Biden's historic and unbelievable political comeback dominates Super Tuesday. That's what it was. But see, it's exposing how corrupt the Democrat Party is again. And all that was trending on social media last night was angry Bernie supporters saying, wow, the Democrats stole it again. Like Biden winning Texas. I mean, I just can't believe it. And it was the same thing that we always see. Bernie Sanders leading Texas all night, midnight hour strikes. Oh, Biden all of a sudden wins. So there is a fracture here. Jill Biden's epic tussle. In split-second blocking maneuver, she protects husband from lunging vegans. So now you have Biden events that are about to be trolled and protested by Bernie supporters. Get ready for that. That's going to be epic. This is just the beginning. And then you had, look, Simone Sanders is a nutcase. But there was another case where somebody tried to get on the stage and Simone Sanders had to take him down. And in fact, that's her right there lunging. I mean, these people are, folks, this is going to be crazy. So Simone Sanders, better than professional bodyguards of Joe Biden. But folks, you watch. Bernie supporters are not going to take this laying down. I'm telling you, they're still resentful and angry after 2016. They're stealing it from Bernie again and giving it to Biden, who can't even talk. I'm not trying to be graphic. Probably can't even wipe his own behind, guys. Like, Biden has to tell a crew of people, hey, I need to go to the bathroom, and people follow him in there so they can wipe his butt. That's where Biden's at. So get ready for this. It's about to be crazy. And then, from Politico today, Republicans lean into Biden probe as he surges in Democrat primary. Ah, so you're starting to see the real picture behind closed doors, what's behind Biden. It's the corrupt Democrat establishment with Brennan endorsing him, Comey endorsing him, John Kerry going on tour with him, Susan Rice endorsing him. Folks, Biden is nothing more and nothing less than their last hope to get someone in the White House that will erase all the treason they committed in the Obama era. That's it. 110%, that's it. I mean, look, Elizabeth Warren, say what you want about her, probably not involved in this level of corruption under the Obama administration. Probably didn't have a clue. Same goes for the rest of them. But Biden was involved in it. Biden's name is on it. Biden did the deals in China. Biden did the deals in Ukraine. And so they're using Biden as their controlled opposition to Trump, their controlled opposition to the organic Democrat Party and the grassroots Democrat voters. And they know he can't say anything. He can't do anything. He needs to get in there to protect his own hide. And then John Kerry and Comey and Brennan and the rest of them want Biden in there because they know they committed treason in the Obama era. And so they want Biden in there so that he can get in there, sit at the Oval Office desk, and then they'll all get behind the scenes and erase everything they did in the Obama years. It won't matter. It's too late for that. But that's what they're going for. But there's going to be something else up their sleeve. They can't put Joe Biden on a debate stage with Donald Trump. There's just no way. Even Van Jones. But Van Jones is a known liar now, peddled the Russian collusion thing, even though he knew it was fake. He got caught by Project Veritas. He says, what's happening with Joe Biden tonight is unbelievable. A week ago, we were asking if he would drop out. Can anyone recall anyone coming from this far back in the polls to this kind of dominant performance in this short a period of time with this little money? Stunning. It's all controlled, Van Jones, just like you were probably told to tweet this out of the Obama administration yourself. It's all contrived. It's all controlled. They told these other Democrats to bow out, give their support to Biden. And then they can just use that as an excuse like, oh, yeah, well, Biden just got those other votes. Biden was trailing in the polls, guys. It's all rigged. And the Bernie supporters are seeing it, folks. And guess who else is seeing it? Ilhan Omar, AOC, they're seeing it too. So let me tell you, the Democrats are going to have to face themselves. Pinch myself moment. No, not with the Democrats forcing Joe Biden upon America, that's its own issue. But no, I'm having a pinch myself moment when it comes to this Roger Stone case and the latest corruption from the judge. It gets worse every day. Just when you thought this case couldn't be more clearly corrupt, just when you thought that the judge couldn't do more to expose herself as political and corrupt, she does. I mean, should we go back down the list? The judge politicizing the case, inserting her own opinions into the sentencing process, saying, oh, Roger Stone was sentenced not for being a Trump supporter, but because he covered up Trump's crimes. What? What crimes? There are no Trump crimes. She exposed herself right then and there. The jury selection process, all the tampering we saw with that, the crime committed by the jurors lying on the questionnaires. You're sitting here thinking, my goodness, this case couldn't be more open and shut. Corrupt judge, corrupt jury, corrupt prosecution. This is a mistrial just on technicalities alone. Doesn't matter. Judge shut it all down. And so now you're sitting here like, wow, this is the most corrupt judge I've ever seen in my life. This is the easily most identifiable case of corruption in a court case I've ever seen in my life against Roger Stone. And then, and this is my pinch myself moment why I'm bringing Tyler Nixon on right now, because I can't believe it, Tyler. I'm literally still like, there's no way they're this corrupt. There's no way. I mean, this is like going out in public and savagely beating an elderly person in the street. And then saying, I stand for the elderly. I love the elderly. And then a nice lady comes down the street in a wheelchair. You savagely pummel her. And then you stand up again and say, elderly people are my favorite. So now I'm trying to make sense of this, Tyler. Roger Stone jurors will get free legal help during bias dispute. So tell me if this has ever happened before. Judge Amy Verman Jackson has now appointed lawyer Alan Raul, I'm not sure how to pronounce that, to the jurors who got caught lying on the questionnaire. Now the judge has appointed them free legal advice. Now, Tyler, again, tell me if I'm wrong here or pinch me. A, have you ever seen anything like this before? And B, how is this not an admittance of guilt? Why would the judge offer them free legal counsel if they had anything to defend themselves against? And is this not taxpayer funded? How can a judge say, oh, here's a lawyer for you? Who's paying for that lawyer? Tyler Nixon, try to bring me back down to earth here.
Sure. Okay. Well, let me, and you'll have to excuse my voice. I'm fighting a mysterious respiratory illness that I acquired somehow on my way back from Washington. So fortunately I'm healing quickly. So I don't think it's the dreaded C virus. And let's hope not. And anyway, so believe it or not, this is a pro bono attorney. So this would be someone brought in who is volunteering services. So this is,
yeah, you know what? Hey, I'm sorry to do this, Tyler. We're having some sort of sound interference here. Guys, let's get reconnected to him, because there's like a beeping and a buzzing, Tyler. I don't know if you can hear that or not. So let's get reconnected, guys, and see if he needs to switch mics or something. Cause I want to get this Tyler audio perfect here, this is so important to hash out and figure out what the heck is going on with this judge as he was just getting into it. While Tyler gets reconnected, folks, again, let me remind you, InfoWarsStore.com is how we make everything here possible. TurboForce back in stock, 40% off. One of my favorite supplements at InfoWarsStore.com. I took my TurboForce before the show today. That's why I'm so focused and filled with energy. As you can tell, don't forget about bodies back in stock as well. 40% off bodies as well. All kinds of great specials happening at InfoWarsStore.com. You've seen what we've done with your support at InfoWarsStore.com. And if you use the supplements, you know how great they are. If you listen to the shows, you hear the people calling in, talking about how great the supplements are. It's the real deal. It's a 360 win. Support yourself. Support your own health with the supplements at InfoWarsStore.com. And support free speech. Support InfoWars and our right to exist and our right to be effective and our right to free speech by shopping at InfoWarsStore.com. Total 360 win. It's the one way you can shove your boot up the rear end of the globalists who want us shut down. That's what they want. And, you know, as we're getting reconnected with Tyler, it is sad. because I try to get along with everybody. When I go to events and I go out of town, I'm meeting people, like, you know, peer to peer, like not through the internet, shaking hands, you know, what have you. Even people that don't like me, that disagree with me. And I always have this weird thing where they tear me down. And it's this other weird thing where it's like, we don't even want to talk about, but they tear me down and they talk about these lawsuits. And I'm like, yeah, well, you realize what these lawsuits are designed to do, to destroy us financially. And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, so, I mean, it's not a real lawsuit, it's a fake lawsuit. And they'll be like, well, it's a real lawsuit, even though it's meant to just destroy you. And I'm like, no, that's what I'm saying. So, but that's, I digress. Your support at InfoWarsStore.com keeps us ticking. Okay, Tyler, back with us. He's got his mic situation straightened out now. So just start it over again. So what is the deal with this judge appointing legal counsel free of charge to this jury? Does that not, to me, show that she and these jurors are guilty of something? Why else would they need legal counsel? And has this ever been done before? And how can she offer free legal counsel to a jury?
Well, you know, I'm going to be the first to hold this judge's feet to the fire and have done so throughout, because I think she's absolutely been hostile and biased politically and otherwise against Roger Stone from the beginning. And she's acted on that bias with regard to her decisions. I don't view this, though, as something that's particularly out of the ordinary or untoward, in the sense that Mike Cernovich, using Norm Pattis, has filed a motion to expose, to unseal, whatever have you, the juror questionnaires, which I think, you know, in that case, I would prefer, frankly, there be outside counsel rather than the judge representing or acting on the interests of the jurors, in which case you would have, you know, the potential for, again, bias involved with her making decisions as to what they want, or either speaking for them or acting on their behalf, in a sense. This attorney, now, I will note, it's pro bono, as I might not have come through earlier. It's pro bono. So he's been called on to represent or potentially represent these jurors should they want representation with regard to this particular motion. I would note, though, he is part of I had it up earlier. He's part of an anti-Trump lawyers organization, right? They
list, and there it is. That's,
yeah. Yeah. It's called Checks and Balances. He's one of 12 attorneys, I believe, or 16 attorneys, who signed a letter calling for expeditious impeachment of the president. So, you know, you can't swing a dead cat in D.C. without hitting an anti-Trump lawyer, Republican or Democrat. So, you know, just the fact of she can't find an attorney or just a neutral attorney in D.C. to represent these jurors who doesn't have some sort of anti-Trump or political otherwise bias tells you all you need to know. I mean, it's just like this should never have taken place in this venue or before this judge and this court. This has been, you know, you don't even need to necessarily rig it per se, because everything is so stacked inherently against a defendant like Roger Stone, who's a national political figure associated with the Republican Party for upwards of 50 years, with President Richard Nixon, with, you know, President Donald Trump, I mean, more than anybody of late. And clearly this is this is probably the most partisan, lopsided district or single city or jurisdiction or whatever you want to call it, you know, considering it's akin to a state and it has its own federal district court, than anywhere else in the country. I mean, I would defy you to find a federal district court in the United States in which the political divide or the partisan representation in the jury pool is 94% against, or 6% only comprised of the affiliation of the defendant in this case, and a very political jurisdiction. I mean,
but even in that, they still went and selected the most anti-Trump jurors they could find. And so, guys, I want to get Tyler's take on this again on the other side, but it's like, this judge is such a control freak. She's now controlling the legal representation for these jurors. And she probably feels guilty because she basically made them complicit in a crime. I mean, that's what she did.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
This deal with the judge and the jury and the prosecution and everything they've done to destroy Roger Stone. It's really so deep in its corruption. It's hard to know where to start and where to begin, quite frankly. So we just have to keep coming on here and updating you on the situation. But again, Tyler, here's what I see from the latest. When you have a judge during the sentencing or during the when they're debating whether there's a mistrial or not, and the judge says, we didn't prosecute Roger Stone for supporting President Trump. We went after him for covering up for his crimes. Well, wait a second. First of all, why are you even mentioning the name Donald Trump? That proves her politicization. Two, Trump wasn't found guilty of any crimes. So it proves her politicization twice. Twice. I mean, based on technicalities alone, this should be a mistrial. But now, to me, her telling the jury, here's a lawyer for you, which you went and discovered is an anti-Trump lawyer. Go figure. Everything they do in this case is anti-Trump. Stone is just the pawn that they're using, the focal piece that they're using, because they don't care. They'll sacrifice any American's life.
Yeah.
So to me, it just exhibits how much of a control freak she is over this case, which to me means she's got something to hide that she's not trying to get out to the public, which is how this case has been rigged from the very get-go and her involvement in it. So, I mean, how do you measure this on top of all the other stuff that this judge has done? How do you measure this latest move from her? And does it not imply guilt? I mean, does that not imply guilt? Hey, here's a lawyer. You're going to need legal representation. To me, that's like, hey, we're guilty. We need lawyers immediately.
Well, I don't think so. I mean, to be honest, I think it's an issue. First of all, the fact that the jury questionnaires, there's so much secrecy in this case for no apparent reason. You know, it is inexplicable to me. I don't believe we have secret juries in this country. I mean, secret juries are called star chambers. I don't know why there's this need to keep, all this information so secret. Be that as it may, they filled out questionnaires, which I don't recall exactly what was on those. I had access to them during the trial phase and we went through them. And I don't know what, you know, there's nothing in there that would be personally revealing. And if they were to be disgorged from the court, it would just simply be substantive questions that they're supposed to answer concerning bias that would reveal bias. So, you know, the fact that this has been such an issue to keep these people's identities secret also touches on a larger thing. And here's the thing, Owen, I think you said it, the politicization, her mention of Trump, her mention of covering up for the president. The problem is not so much that the politicization of it, it's that it's inherent in her actions and her biases. Her biases are so deep rooted that she can literally mention things that are not in evidence, that are not part of the factual record, that are simply her out and not to mention, you know, are outside the record, but they're also not proven even outside of the factual record. So you can't say, you know, what he was covering for President Trump for what? I mean, for what is he covering for? So she's, in other words, assuming all kinds of things that are not in evidence. And then beyond that, when they're not in evidence outside of the record, she's assuming beyond that, you know, in other words, the conclusions of things that aren't in the record.
Which is guilty until proven innocent.
Yeah, she's incorporating that into her process. It shows a bias that's so deep that it cannot be. It's almost these people, they're so partisan and so they're so zealous. They're such zealots in their viewpoints, or at least so self-righteous about it. They don't even believe that they're biased, you know, and that's scary. I mean, then you're dealing with people who are true believers that whatever they do. And I said that it's like, ta, c'est moi, you know, I am the state. It doesn't matter what I do to Roger Stone. It's just because I am the state, because I am the judge, because I am justice. You know, this is their view.
Boy, that's scary.
Yeah, it is scary because that's how he's been treated from the beginning. I mean, from the moment he walked in the courtroom, she treated him as though she knew all about him. She had read all about him and for 40 years, had, you know, read about Roger Stone and knew what, you know, he was this and he was that. She made characterizations of him, just in her closing statements as well as throughout that. I thought, who is this woman to sit in judgment of this man beyond what the factual record and what the facts of this case have presented to her? I mean, she made like practically psychological conclusions about what he wants and what he thinks of this. And it's like, that's way over the top. I mean, you know, these judges, I mean, you're dealing with a delicate political case. She should have gone out of her way to prevent this type of politicization, these type of spurious outside conclusions that, you know, indicate that she has taken in outside evidence or has some outside view of Roger Stone, you know, beyond the facts of the case, his reputation or whatever that be. I mean, and that was the fact of the case, fact of the matter, right from the beginning when the gag order was put into effect. You know, Roger Stone wasn't given any kind of deference or the reason, the benefit of the doubt or the presumption of innocence, as you just said. You know, of course, he has to be, you know, a dirty trickster. And, you know, she mocked him. I mean, she even at one point said that, you know, he would when she tried to silence him, which, by the way, I think is just an unconstitutional, abusive, authoritarian outrage that he should have defied from the beginning, or if nothing else, worn a literal gag into court every day, you know, around his face.
Yeah.
However, have you.
Yeah. To because really I'm attack sure that have, issue. No, I mean, for yeah, real, because it was totally unbelievable how she gagged him over this, which, again, just shows her control freak nature.
And still the man's been convicted and sentenced and he still cannot speak in his own defense.
And again, to me, that's just a clue. Speaking for myself, not Tyler Nixon, this judge is covering something up, man. The total control freak nature of this.
She's trying to backfill her biases, which are, you know, it's never anything specific that you can say, oh my gosh, she just there said, you know, Roger Stone is a lousy partisan.
But wait a second. Hold on, Tyler. Let me draw back for a second here. So obviously this judge is either doing her own research on Roger Stone, or either follows politics that in-depthly for 40 years, or somebody basically delivers a dossier on Roger Stone to her. I mean, either one of those things is clearly the case here. I mean, wouldn't an honorable judge at that point step aside and say, look, I've got too much invested interest. I know too much about this case. I can't have a fair and unbiased decision here. I need to pass this case on. Wouldn't an honorable judge do that?
Well, an unbiased judge would, but then an unbiased judge wouldn't need to recuse himself. It's this sort of circular problem that we have, that a judge who's so biased against this defendant is, you know, willing to act on that bias. Of course, they're not going to recuse themselves because they think that it's their, you know, high holy calling, their righteous duty to get this guy, to make sure that justice is served on this scoundrel of many years. I mean, there's many times she referenced outside to me. Clearly, you know, made reference to things and made comments that indicate that she is absolutely either being fed or reading or is just in communion with the, you know, the Politico, Daily Beast, MSNBC, what have you, narrative of this entire case and of Roger Stone. And there's no question about it. I mean, she has villainized him in a sense. And here's an example. So, and it relates to this jury question of having to, you know, secure an attorney to protect these people. All along, there's been this presumption that she's put into, you know, never actually stating it, but ruling on it, such as she says, you know, based on the publicity in this case, I'm concerned for the safety of the jurors or those involved in this. Why is that? Has there been one instance of a threat against this judge or anyone associated with the prosecution or the jury? Has there been one person who's ever threatened or made any sort of, you know, hostile moves in any way whatsoever towards anybody who's opposite to Roger Stone? Because I don't know about it. I'm sure we'd have heard all about it all over every, you know, network for days, how somebody threatened a juror on Roger Stone's case.
And no, but there hasn't, but let's stick on this. We're about to go to break.
Hey, listen.
We got to go to break here. We literally have 5 seconds. So we're going to come back and finish this. But again, well, it's just unbelievable, folks. We'll be right back.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show. Trigger warning. This broadcast contains subject matter that might trigger liberal snowflakes. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream at Infowars.com/show.
We now know the jury in Roger Stone's trial was infiltrated by far-left Democrat activists who hid her social media attacks on Trump and Stone. Tomika Hart with anti-Roger Stone tweets, which she denied on her questionnaire. Tomika Hart ran for political office, which she also denied on her questionnaire in order to lie her way onto the jury. Tomika Hart, who ran for Congress as a Democrat. There's the hardcore proof of that. Told the judge during direct questioning that she had no recollection of who Roger Stone was. That was a lie. It's time for justice in the Roger Stone case. Pardon Roger Stone, former co-host of this broadcast, friend of mine as well, victim of a corrupt deep state that is out to get Trump. Tyler Nixon is with us. Tyler, we're getting into the dangers of what we've seen in this case. And we were talking about, at least for me, what I see is somebody trying to cover her tracks, offering legal advice to the jurors, bringing up how much she or what she thinks about Trump during this case, even though it should have nothing to do with the facts of the matter. So there's all these different clues just based on technicalities with the jury questionnaire alone. There should have been a mistrial. She's denied that. So get back to where we were at in the last segment with how dangerous this process has become and how America, whether you like Roger Stone or not, needs to look at this case and say, we cannot allow something like this to happen to any American.
Yeah. Well, I think the problem is also that I don't know how the judge is going to, frankly, explain her way around this. Because, excuse me. Sorry, one second.
Cough it out. Breaking, Tyler Nixon, coronavirus, live on the War Room. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding.
I've had this persistent thing since D.C.
Well, I appreciate you coming on, even though you're under the weather, man, because you know how important this is.
just came on. Real quick. This judge, I don't know how she's going to, frankly, you know, the motion for new trial is still pending. I don't know how you take a juror who's clearly not only biased in a you know, spectacular way. I mean, this wasn't just she's a Democrat, she ran for Congress. I mean, she was proactive in her social media posts. And she also obscured this. I mean, she didn't.
We need to get Tyler some water here. Hey, brother, if you need a minute to cough it out, just let us know.
You're the last of it.
All right.
You know, and she was not forthcoming about it. And so you have a situation where not only do you have bias, that's way beyond what was, you know, thought or what was even acceptable, what was the threshold, but you have it being concealed, which indicates that not only is there bias, but there's an intention there. You know, there's an intention that bias will impact this person's decision-making, this person's actions in the trial. I mean, there's just no two ways about it, you know. And the problem is nowadays, it used to be even the appearance of impropriety was enough, you know, in Washington, D.C. or in any legal setting. I mean, the conflicts of interest, things like that, it didn't have to be an actual conflict as long as it appeared, because it would, you know, call into question the integrity of either a court, a jury, or an attorney, whatever the case. They don't even care about that anymore. They take actual conflicts of interest and blow them off as if they're nothing. I mean, I was interviewed by Jeannie Reed, the Clinton Foundation attorney and an Obama White House attorney before my grand jury testimony. And I'm just thinking, this is the person prosecuting Roger Stone. I mean, you're telling me in Washington, D.C., you couldn't find – well, maybe you can't Washington, D.C. now that I think about it. But, I mean, you couldn't find anybody who wasn't directly connected to the Clintons somehow or directly connected to the Obama White House to be the prosecutor. I mean, this is why they brought this case in Washington, D.C., why they made sure they shoehorned it through trickery, legal trickery, into this venue in front of this particular judge, because this is the result they wanted. And frankly, it should be blown up in their faces, and they should not be given any benefit of any doubt whatsoever, okay? Because this jury, you know, you've got partisan biases revealed. This is BS that we're bending over backwards, or she's bending over backwards, this judge, to try to give deference somehow to people who are clearly partisan biased. I mean, the problem is she doesn't care because she's biased in partisan ways. And, you know, frankly, as I said, she doesn't view herself as biased. She can't even see the fact of her, for example, implying somehow that Roger Stone has to be gagged and that the jury has to be secret and all this stuff and everything has to be sealed because of the publicity might. You know, here's one thing that really outraged me. You know, she sort of bought into this notion that, well, Roger Stone was never, you know, he's personally not a threat, but something he might say might incite somebody out there to take action. You know, so Roger Stone's rights are held accountable for some mythical, you know, hypothetical, notional person out there crazy, which of course, because all right wing people or anybody who follow Roger Stone is crazy, right? You know, and that they might take action. So, I mean, just this is the kind of thing I'm talking about. This is just accepted as though it's acceptable, that, you know, based on no evidence whatsoever. Not a shred. Not I've received death threats, or I've seen death threats. I've seen letters, or I've seen information that shows that, you know, people are crazy who follow Roger Stone. And there's a fringe. No, it's just assumed. It's just leftist dogma in Washington, D.C. that Roger Stone's a bad guy. Anybody who would listen to him or follow him or be associated with him is also bad. And that anything he might say might actually, you know, produce violence against this jury somehow, even though there's never been a shred of evidence of that. And I want to just give you this quick little thing that shows you the level, the degree, the minutia level of control freak that this judge is. This is from the sentencing hearing. She's in the middle of reading the counts out, and literally it says, okay, so I'm going to pick up in mid-sentences, in violation of 15 USC, blah, blah, and that statute provides for sentence of up to 5 years imprisonment of a fine of $250,000. If anybody in this room has sunglasses on, unless there's a medical reason, they need to take them off. Counts 2, 3, 4, and 5, literally in the middle of reading off the counts of this man's sentence that, you know, could put him away for years. She's worried about people wearing someone apparently wearing sunglasses in the audience. Now, I would note that I knew Milo was there in the audience, and I actually tweeted or texted this to him and said, you know, I'm looking right at you, buddy.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm wondering. Why is she tweeting that out? Milo, Roger Stone wear sunglasses, Enrique Tarrio, another supporter of Roger Stone. I mean, what? And 5 years in jail? What the hell?
They're not disruptive. You can't wear sunglasses in this judge's court, in the audience, or in the, you know, the gallery. I mean, she is absolutely beyond control freak in the sense that.
But Tyler, know, that's my point. And let me ask you this: go ahead.
I was just saying that says to me her level of the minutia with which she's a control freak note means that she knows everything that's going on and everything she says and every remark. Everything, in other words, there's no just accidental, oh, this juror, you know, this or that. No, she knows everything that's going on. So she's responsible for all of it. And frankly, should be held to account. Roger, well,
and that's what I'm saying.
And you with a new judge.
That's what I'm saying. If I'm just an unbiased investigator just looking at this stuff, I'm looking at the judge like, wow, you got something to hide, lady. You have covered your tracks around every twist and every turn here. I'm looking right at you. Is there any investigation going to happen? Is the Justice Department dead? Is Attorney General Barr alive? I mean, what the hell is going on? If there is any investigation that needs to go down, it's into this judge and how this jury selection process went down. Is there any signs or clues that that's going to happen, or are we just left at the will of this corrupt judge?
Yeah, I'm sorry, but I mean, I hate to say it, and it's a dark day for me. You know, I had faith in the justice system to some extent, that there is justice possible, that there are good people in the system. But in this D.C. district court, just federal district court with this federal DOJ, you know, that deals in the district court and then there's the D.C. U.S. attorney and the special counsel. I'm sorry, but like these people are absolute rank partisans. They think they walk on water. There's nothing that whatever they do, they can do it and get away with it. And I'm sorry, even up to the appeals process that might be had on a judge like this, it's all just, you know, self-affirming. They're partisans. I don't think you'd have to go to the Supreme Court itself.
All right. Let's get one last comment from Tyler Nixon after this break. Just a summary from Tyler Nixon on the other side of this break. It's sad.
Infowars.com/show.
All right, last segment of this hour, Tyler Nixon is going to just do a summary here of everything we've talked about in this Roger Stone case. And then I'm going to go back in time, too. And maybe I'll do that before I take the calls. I was originally going to do that last segment. Now maybe I do it before that to get your calls in it, but we'll see. Anyway, Tyler Nixon, why don't you just give a summary here of kind of what we've discussed and where you currently stand philosophically on everything that's happened in this Roger Stone case with this, in my view, totally corrupt judge, Amy Berman Jackson. Tyler Nixon.
Well, you know, it really has shaken my faith that there is justice and, you know, manifest justice, and that people at this exalted level of, you know, that demand respect, demand everybody bow before them, would at least have the integrity, you know, to be transparent and to be honest about themselves. I mean, this is dangerous. You're talking just pure autocracy, pure autocratic fiat from someone with harboring biases, if not personal animus against Roger Stone. You know, as if, I mean, this judge, in my opinion, you know, just having looked at it, because let me tell you something. At the beginning of this case, Roger said this, she's going to rule against me in every single instance. She is, you know, going to slam me however possible. You know, this is going to be a railroading. And I said, Roger, just give it a chance. Okay. Give her a chance. I wanted to withheld judgment and I reserve judgment. And you know what? He was right. Because I was shocked after the gag order and beyond that. And she just, you know, bang, 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 ruled against him in every motion, excluded evidence of Russian collusion, excluded evidence of prosecutor misconduct or conflicts of interest. You know, everything that would have established some level of defense of this man against a juggernaut that had hounded him for close to 2 years before, you know, this staging this ridiculous paramilitary early morning dawn, pre-dawn raid on his home.
Which they leaked to CNN.
Exactly. And by that pustule, probably Weissman, who comes out and he's not two steps out of the Justice Department, out of the Mueller hit squad. And he's on MSNBC spouting some of the most mouth breathing leftist dreck that you could ever conjure. excuse me. And, you know, there has to be somewhere along the way. Frankly, Bill Barr is a big disappointment to me.
Yeah.
He should have taken the reins here. And,
yeah,
you know, for him to come out.
We're going to have to quarantine you, Tyler. We're going to have to quarantine you. You've got the coronavirus.
I'm self-quarantining
here. It's okay. You'll survive it. I'll survive. I survived it. You can survive it.
So anyway, look, I mean, Roger Stone, I don't even know if granting him a new trial, certainly not in front of this judge in this district, would be fair. The president just needs to pardon him and end this madness.
Yep.
That's what the pardon is for. And yep. You even have leftists coming out now trying to challenge that power, which is absurd. They're trying to say that because it's related to Roger Stone is somehow his case is related to the impeachment case brought before the Senate against the president. Well, first of all, he was acquitted. So, you know,
I mean, and it's just not, there is no connection. And that's not even what they're going after from Roger. So it just shows the manipulation of this case by the media and by the left here. All right, Tyler, I'm putting you into quarantine. Okay. I'm putting you into quarantine. We got to get you safe and healthy. Tyler Nixon, thank you so much. And I'm just going to say this in clothing, guys, pull up his Twitter account too, so people can follow him there. Like Tyler said, and the same thing happened with my case. A lot of legal minds and legal scholars who tend to side with trusting justice and legal, you know, situations, they're starting to see more and more. Lawyers saw it in my case. They're seeing it in Roger's case, how corrupt the Justice Department, at least some of these judges, have truly become. Tyler Nixon, God bless you. Get healthy, man, and we'll talk soon.
I appreciate it.
All right, there goes Tyler Nixon. All right, here's what I'm going to do, folks. I think I'm going to air this because I kind of want to get the audience to respond to this in the third hour. And I'm going to do this in the next segment and the beginning of the next hour. Rush Limbaugh on 60 Minutes in 1991. And going back and watching this last night, this was 30 years ago, very indicative of how we got here, where the left has come from, how the left got to where they're at today, and why Rush Limbaugh's success was so important in that time period. And then to see that all the tactics they used against Limbaugh, they're still doing today. And it doesn't work in the long term. And so that'll all make sense to you when we go to this 1991 Rush Limbaugh on 60 Minutes coming up in the next segment. So let me just do a news blitz here so I can get all this out of the way before we take your calls on everything here on the War Room. Some of the stuff I didn't get to. So you have the Democrats now going with Biden, who's senile, can't even wipe his own butt. They're doing the same thing with Nancy Pelosi. Variety runs a feature on Nancy Pelosi this week. How Nancy Pelosi emerged as a media star and Trump's most formidable foe. And it's just this drooling over Nancy Pelosi in this piece. And it's just like, my goodness, this is how out of touch with reality they are. Nancy Pelosi, who can't even keep it together, who's falling apart mentally. Joe Biden. Biden and Pelosi are the two Democrat ringleaders right now. They're both senile. They're both hideous. And they're both on their way out, you know. But this is who the Democrats are going with, because it's all about who is the most corrupt right now for the Democrat Party. So it's not a measurement of who's the most popular, who's had the most success, who has the best message, who has the best policy. It's no, who is the most corrupt? And the answer is Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi. So they're fawning over those two. Here's kind of a measurement, an echo, if you will, of 2016. Pierce Bush is first Bush to lose Texas race in over 40 years. So Trump has really defeated these political dynasties, the Clintons and the Bushes. But I think more than anything, the American public have defeated these political dynasties. They're through with them. To go back to the results from last night, Ilhan Omar calls out lack of united progressive movement as Biden wins big on Super Tuesday. Now, remember, this is the Democrat Party that is everything against rich white men. Well, they've eliminated everybody from the Democrat nomination process except the two white billionaires. Isn't that funny? Or millionaires, excuse me. They eliminated the gay guys, Booker and Buttigieg. They eliminated the females of color. They eliminated the males of color. So they basically are the racist party that they claim not to be. But the key to that is you have Ilhan Omar and the squad and AOC, everybody, going with Sanders, even though Sanders kind of distanced himself from AOC. The point is, the radical left is not going to take this defeat of Bernie Sanders by Joe Biden lightly. And, I mean, look, we saw what they said in the Project Veritas videos about rioting in Milwaukee. They may actually do it, folks. They may actually do it. So, they don't disavow it. I brought it up to all the Democrat candidates in Iowa. None of them would disavow it. CNN wouldn't disavow it, so... It's not on us. It's on you guys. You guys rigged your own nomination process. You guys are going to throw Bernie Sanders under the bus again. And he won't do anything about it, so it won't matter. But that's where it's going. $500 million later, Bloomberg ends the bid for the White House. It was fun for him. I guess he paid $500 million to just get ripped on by Trump for a couple months. AOC top advisor Corbin Trent abruptly exits campaign. So what's going on with that? Chuck Schumer, Chucky the Chuckster, the Huckster Chuckster, the deli meat salesman, who you would never buy a sandwich from. Like, you walk into a deli meat counter, you see Chuck Schumer, what do you have? You walk out. Schumer, the same guy that said, you know, six ways of Sunday of getting back at you. And then the intelligence agencies lied about Russian collusion with President Trump. Now Chuck Schumer is saying Supreme Court justices will pay the price if they rule against abortion advocates. Yeah, so how dare Supreme Court justices not want to kill babies, you know, says Chuck Schumer, and then says they'll pay the price? Boy, Chuck Schumer delivers on threats, ladies and gentlemen. That's a gangster. That's a New York City political gangster, Chuck Schumer. I mean, you run into Chuck Schumer in a dark alley, like, you know, you run away. So what does he mean when he says they'll pay the price? Now, notice how this is pretty much going uncovered. I'm just going to read the headlines. Secret documents on Trump-Afghanistan peace deal shared with Congress from Politico. Military Times. All U.S. troops to leave Afghanistan in 14 months if Taliban meets commitments of peace deal. CFR. U.S.-Taliban peace deal. What we know. So Trump is actually trying to get these peace deals done. It's very complex. But it's actually trying to go down. Everything Obama said he would do, Trump's actually trying to do it. Where's the media giving him credit? Where's the Nobel Peace Prize? Where is the media trying to spur this further, saying, yes, we want peace deals in the Middle East. Yes, we want to bring the troops home. Where is the media? Where are the Democrats? They blacklist Tulsi Gabbard. In fact, the Democrats just changed the rules again to keep Tulsi Gabbard off the debate stage. What in the hell is wrong with these people?
War Room. Infowars.com/show.
The fight for the future is now.
This
is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
All right, we're going to open up the phone lines on the results of Super Tuesday. The Democrats going with Senile Joe. If you want to weigh in on the discussion I had with Tyler Nixon, Dan Lyman, some other headlines I'm going to get to. But I wanted to play this. I was going to do it at the end of the show today, but I want to do it now because you may want to talk about this too, because I think it's very eye-opening. At least it was for me, with a more historical context, using Rush Limbaugh as the focal point here. But it just shows you how fraudulent the left has been for 30 years in their political agenda and attacking their dissidents. This was Rush Limbaugh, a piece on 60 Minutes in 1991. Tell me if things don't seem eerily familiar from this interview and this piece on Rush Limbaugh from 30 years ago.
If Walter Cronkite has been called the most trusted man in America, Rush Limbaugh has been called the most dangerous, and he's proud of it. On 400 radio stations nationwide, more than 7 million listeners a week hear Limbaugh lambasting liberals, railing against the homeless, beating up on feminists, gays, and those he calls peaceniks and environmental wackos. Unhappily, his critics say he's proof that bigotry sells. As you're about to see and hear, Rush Limbaugh is too big to ignore.
Welcome to the Rush Limbaugh Program, a program exclusively designed for rich conservatives and right-minded Republicans and those who want to be either or both.
With a torso as big as his voice, this 300-pounder from Cape Girardeau, Missouri, has fashioned a blend of political satire and commentary into the most successful radio talk show in the country. You can hear him 3 hours every afternoon, virtually anywhere in America.
The views expressed by the host on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, nor sponsors of this station, but they ought to be.
And what are those views? Well, listen. It won't take you long to figure them out. We'll give you some help. When you hear the music Up, Up, and Away and My Beautiful Balloon, that means it's time for a condom update.
The New York City school system won a close vote recently to distribute condoms on request to any high school student in the school system who wants one. The budgets are so tight, they may have to cut 18,000 teachers. The message is that it is more important to give students condoms in New York City than it is to give them teachers.
Who is this guy and where did he come from? Well, he's a twice-divorced college dropout and failed disc jockey who is waging what he calls cultural warfare, skewering liberal sacred cows, environmentalists, feminists, militant gays, and animal rights activists, often with their own material, culled from the 8 newspapers he reads every day.
Have we got fun in store for you today?
The latest news from the animal rights front is introduced with Andy Williams singing Born Free, mixed with gunfire, explosions, and animal cries. The feminist update begins with Born to Be a Woman. Limbaugh doesn't like feminists much, calls their leaders feminazis. By now, you're either laughing or fuming. And to Rush Limbaugh, it doesn't make that much difference.
People have called you a sexist.
Right.
People have called you a homophobe.
Right.
Are you?
Oh, of course not. I'm none of those things. I am simply someone who views events in life and comments on them. I have my own version of what's right and wrong.
You've also been called arrogant and pompous.
Well, I call it confidence.
And for now, he can afford to be cocky. Oracle or opportunist, he is part of the American commerce, bringing listeners back to AM radio. In New Orleans, when WWL started carrying his show, the station jumped from number 7 in the ratings to number 1. Johnny Andrews is the station manager.
In the past 25, 30 years in radio, I can only think of a handful of national radio personalities who have made an impact on local radio stations. Paul Harvey, of course. Charles Osgood. And now in the 90s, here's this guy, Rush Limbaugh.
I'm sad that Billy Carter's no longer. He's a great character, and he was a nice guy. And if he were still around, we'd be the dream Democrat ticket. The dream ticket.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, does anything about this so far seem eerily familiar, like it's not from 1991? We'll continue when we get back. let's go back to this Rush Limbaugh piece on 60 Minutes. Remember, this is in 1991. This is very eye-opening for me in the current political context and current political battlefield to see this from 1991 against Rush Limbaugh, to see everything Limbaugh's done since then. Very eye-opening. Let's pick it back up where we left off. Again, Rush Limbaugh, 60 Minutes piece from 1991.
Ted Kennedy and Billy Carter.
Right.
And the slogan would be, "You drink, I'll drive."
Where are you calling from, Steve?
He takes a few phone calls, usually from like-minded listeners.
Mary in Plattsburgh, New York. Hi, and welcome to the Rush Limbaugh program.
Hi, Rush. How are you
People
doing?
Calling his New York studio on cellular phones get priority treatment because, he says, they must be rich. It's his talk show, and he's the talker. No guests. He says he doesn't need them.
I don't defer to the experts. I am the expert. Of course, when I stop being one, zoom.
5 years ago, he was hanging on in Sacramento. Today, he's traveling by limousine, demanding $15,000 for a personal appearance.
Let's give a warm, New Orleans welcome to America's leading radio talk show personality, Rush Limbaugh.
In New Orleans last spring, 6,000 fans paid $20 apiece to listen to stories like this one, about a men's club in San Francisco that was forced to admit women who then demanded their own exercise room.
Ben said, fine, we'll be glad to give you your own exercise room. In fact, we'll even put the first three pieces of exercise equipment in there for you. They put in there a washing machine, an ironing board, vacuum cleaner. True story.
The story got a lot of applause, but not everyone's cheering. Attorney Gloria Allred, one of the country's most prominent feminists, says Limbaugh would get big applause at a Nazi rally.
I'll bet you they didn't see the humor in it at all, because these people don't have any sense of humor.
He is hurting us, and I can't emphasize that enough. He is trying to make us a joke so that we won't be taken seriously, and part of the problem with moving the women's movement forward is the trivialization of the women's movement.
Feminism was established so as to allow unattractive women easier access to the mainstream society.
That's the type of woman-hating statement that is perpetuated over and over again.
Look, if they get mad at that, that's fine. I'm not doing what I do to make sure nobody gets mad. I can understand how that would ruffle feathers, but it isn't going to stop me.
What are you trying to do with this show?
I'm trying to attract the largest audience I can and hold it for as long as I can, so that I can charge advertisers confiscatory advertising rates. This is a business.
You're in it for the money?
Sure. Of course, I'm doing a lot of this for money. But I don't want it to just stop there. I mean, everybody does what they do for the money. If somebody tells you it's not the money, believe me, it's the money.
And speaking of money, Limbaugh will earn about $1 million this year. His Rush to Excellence videotape is expected to sell nearly 50,000 copies. And there are mugs and T-shirts.
Is that it for
Rush is God.
He is so popular with his fans that 1,000 of them filled a cruise ship to tour the Caribbean with him. Hundreds waited for more than an hour just to have their picture taken with him.
I never met anyone I liked that much before, so it's a good opportunity for me. That's why I'm here.
Mr. and Mrs. Virtue, Rush Limbaugh.
Hi, Virtue. What a name. That could be mine, too.
But a lot of people fail to see that virtue. They say he picks on the vulnerable. His most vocal critics are gays. Limbaugh insists he only criticizes gay politics, not the gay lifestyle.
Yeah.
Really? You decide.
We're just gonna take
he introduces updates about gay Congressman Barney Frank with the song My Boy Lollipop.
Barney called a press conference. Barney admitting that he had had an affair with Stephen Gobe. And he said, quote, "I was just trying to help this guy through some problems, but I got suckered. That's what drove me to My Boy Lollipop. My Boy Lollipop." Perfect. It was absolutely perfect. I don't think that that is making fun of the homosexual lifestyle. I really don't. I think it's an ingenious, clever way of doing
making
the
fun of
Barney
the
Frank
lifestyle.
No, it was a Barney Frank update. It was nothing about the gay community.
Barney Frank's news conference is not the first thing that comes to mind when they hear My Boy Lollipop with the Barney Frank
Who's
update.
Whose mind? The audience?
Right.
what is the first thing that comes to their mind?
That you're making fun of their lifestyle.
Well, I'm not making fun of the lifestyle. I'm not the one engaging in the lifestyle, and I'm not the one who said what Barney said, and I'm not the one doing what Barney said.
Will Williams heads a Rush Limbaugh task force for the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation.
I don't know how more clear it can be.
He says Limbaugh is just the latest in a long line of radio and TV hate mongers.
The overwhelming majority of the American people are not bigots. And when they find out about Rush Limbaugh types, as they did about Martin Downey Jr., and when they found out about Andrew Dice Clay, they step in and such people's careers take a dive.
And you think that's what'll happen to Rush Limbaugh?
I think so.
In his dreams.
It's not going to happen.
In his dreams.
The story will continue after this.
Love to listen to him. I've gotten to the point where I do my shopping and my moving around in the car in the afternoon so that I can hear him when I sit in line waiting in the bank. Usually I think it's going to lower my blood pressure and I'm going to live longer as a result of listening to it.
I think I just happen to be saying what a whole lot of people think but don't have the chance to say themselves. That's why they call me the most dangerous man in America. Somebody's finally saying this stuff.
You believe that?
The most dangerous man? No, I'm a harmless fuzzball.
I think this is a dangerous fuzzball. And perhaps because he likes to sell himself as harmless, he is all the more dangerous.
Why dangerous?
Because he perpetuates many lies. And if a lie is told often enough, people begin to believe it. And lies can kill. Lies can lead to hate crimes against innocent persons.
That's BS. It's unsubstantiated. It's unprovable because it doesn't happen. Never once have I encouraged action of violence against anybody. I do not accept the notion that disagreeing with the politics of any group encourages others to be violent against them.
I don't think that he can disclaim responsibility by saying there has to be some showing of a direct causal link.
Allred and a lot of other people would like to see Rush Limbaugh off the air. Some have even threatened to organize boycotts against his advertisers. Limbaugh calls this new sensitivity today's fascism. He claims he's just a guy on the radio.
If I were of the attitude that my primary goal was to go in that studio every day and make sure that America heard everything I said and acted on it, because times are crucial. We don't have much time to save everything. You know, the ratings of this show would just plummet because the fun would go. It'd be too serious. It'd be what liberals do. They're always wringing their hands, not having any time for fun, and being critical of virtually everything. It matches. It matches. All right, a deal.
Yeah,
15 U.S. dollars?
Yes.
So Rush Limbaugh is behaving like a true conservative, placing his faith in free speech, if not good taste, and in free enterprise. The marketplace will eventually decide.
Ah, there it is.
And it did.
Symbolizing the sadness all over America as the final segment of the program today has arrived. We gotta go. We're out of here. See ya. Be good.
Ah, and a similar sight or similar sound to my ears listening to that growing up. Now, was that piece from 1991 on Rush Limbaugh eerily familiar to what we're dealing with now? Was that as eye-opening to you as it was to me? I'm going to open up the phone lines in the next segment to do so. But some of the similarities of the left lying and demonizing their political opposition like they did to Rush Limbaugh, their dreams, their wet dreams of having Rush Limbaugh kicked off the show, and then assuming because of their own biases that, oh, the free market will shut him down. No, he's the most successful radio host, maybe media personality in American history, still on the air today. Suck on that. And so then there's the next level of here we are at InfoWars enduring the same thing. But it's a new era of control with the technotronic control and increased corruption since Limbaugh's inception. But yet here we are still on air, even though you know they want to shut us down. So please go to InfoWarsStore.com and keep Alex Jones and InfoWars on the air for 30 years to show the liberals they're wrong. They're the minority.
The War Room. InfoWars.com/show.
Okay, I am opening up the phone lines right now. First-time callers will get priority treatment. 877-789-2539. Phone lines are open. First-time callers, priority treatment. Anything we've discussed so far today is fair game. Please just keep it to topics discussed on the War Room today. 877-789-2539. And I'm going to do a brief news blitz here before we get into the next segment and take your calls in the last two segments. Remember, though, folks, I played that Rush Limbaugh piece for a couple of reasons. But one, it was inspirational to me being in a similar position here at InfoWars as Rush Limbaugh in the early 90s, where everyone's trying to destroy us. Everyone is saying we don't even exist. Tulsi Gabbard was shocked that we're even still on air. The crew asked her when we were out there. They shut their cameras off before they did, though. They're trying to destroy us at every angle. They're assuming we will be dead. They're assuming we're already dead. We're not dead. But we are dead in a sense that our lifeblood, our life support, the air in our lungs, the blood beating through our heart is you. You supporting us at InfoWarsStore.com. You telling friends and family about InfoWars and Banned Out Video, spreading the Banned Out Video link, saying, hey, look, all these other claim to be experts over there on cable news that you brainwash yourself with, why don't you go check out Banned Out Video? Go check out The War Room. Look at all the great guests they have. Look at how accurate they've been on reporting. Check out what Alex Jones is actually saying. Don't go listen to the fake news about him. That's how you keep us alive. And I just pray, like the success of Rush Limbaugh, that InfoWars is still here in 30 years so that we can stand strong and tall and flex in the face of the leftist hate mob and the leftist liars. To me, that was one thing cemented into me from that Rush Limbaugh piece. The left hasn't changed a bit. Same hate group, same liars, same frauds, same haters of free speech. Same crap. More vitriolic and extreme in their totalitarianism now, but still the same vein, still the same motive. Your support at InfoWarsStore.com makes it all possible. 40% off Turbo Force. I don't drink energy drinks. I drank the Turbo Force today. It's the best energy drink by my measurement, and it tastes good. It doesn't have the high fructose corn syrup, all the processed sugar. 40% off Turbo Force at InfoWarsStore.com. Probably sell out quick. Very popular. 40% off Bodies. I am going to the gym after the show tonight. I like to drink the Turbo Force when I'm having a night workout because the energy I get at 3 o'clock from drinking the Turbo Force sustains me all the way through 10 o'clock when I'm about done at the gym. So, and then the Bodies afterwards, no soreness, no achiness the next day, no matter how much I work out. InfoWarsStore.com. All right, let me do a news blitz here. As I said, the Democrats have now changed the rules to keep Tulsi Gabbard off the debate stage. I mean, talk about total control and corruption from the Democrat Party. The Bernie Sanders supporters are going to be ticked off. Tulsi Gabbard supporters are going to be voting for Trump. DNC will raise debate threshold after Tulsi Gabbard earns a delegate that would have put her on the stage. The Democrats are the most corrupt political group probably in the history of America. I mean, it's really unbelievable, folks. They just don't stop. Coronavirus death in California and Washington brings U.S. total to 11. Los Angeles area's official declare emergency after confirming 6 new coronavirus cases over 48 hours. Boy, I don't think this is going to go well for California. I foresee something bad happening there. Seattle feels like ghost town, business owners say, as they face life in coronavirus hotspot. Italy closes schools as death toll hits 107. They're also talking about banning kissing and handshaking. Man in Lithuania locks wife in bathroom over coronavirus fear. So much for in good health and bad. IOC rep says 2020 Olympics are going ahead as scheduled. They debated stopping those. Now let's play this clip. This is wild, guys. In clip 16, listen to what the Chinese state government spokesperson is now saying about the origin of the coronavirus. This is shocking. Go ahead.
Certain media say this coronavirus is a China virus. This is extremely irresponsible, and we firmly oppose that. We are still tracing the origin of the virus, and there is no conclusion yet. The WHO said many times that the COVID-19 is a global phenomenon with uncertain origin. So we need to focus now on how to deal with this virus, how to contain it, and to avoid stigmatization on certain region. The WHO named it COVID-19 to avoid connection with any region or country. As famed Chinese respiratory specialist Zhou Nanshan said, the COVID-19 cases first appeared in China, but it doesn't mean its origin is in China.
Do you realize how crazy this is now, folks? So get this. So they're saying the origin is not in China. So what are they saying? Where did it come from? They're insinuating it came from somewhere else. How does the coronavirus go from zero deaths, zero knowing about it, zero anything, to now being a worldwide pandemic and global threat? It's a man-made bioweapon. So is China denying it was their own man-made bioweapon? Are they about to blame somebody else for releasing this bioweapon? And if it didn't originate in China, why did it outbreak in China? But so, I mean, that just sets the table for a whole new slew of narratives that's about to come out about this deal. Meanwhile, new normal in virus hit China. High-tech tracking, they were already doing that. They're just using it as an excuse to roll it out even more now. And fever checkpoints. So just like I was saying, that's my fear, government control over this. And then in similar but separate stories, stricter vaccination law survives Maine ballot referendum. And the way this story is written in Foster's is very confusing, so I won't even get into it. But basically, Democrats and Republicans, but it's mostly Democrats, are trying to limit or even get rid of all vaccine exemption laws. So they just want total tyranny, and they're using the coronavirus as the backdrop to do it. So that scares me as well. But wow, China denying the coronavirus originated there. Who are they going to blame it on? Are they admitting it was a man-made bioweapon now as well? Sets the table for a whole new table of narratives to come out. Video shows Trump supporter pulled to ground by Virginia Westland officer during Bernie Sanders rally. Guy goes to a Bernie Sanders rally, has a Trump flag. You know, they talk about police brutality or whatever. This police was obviously a Trump hater and illegally and illegitimately threw a guy with a Trump flag to the ground out of nowhere. Out of nowhere, wasn't even causing a disturbance. So I have a feeling that officer is going to be sued. Antonio Sabato Jr. on how supporting Trump ended his acting career. Oh, no, don't say that. It's only the Trump haters that are suffering in society, even though they act like Trump haters dominate society. See, there's no logical parallels to leftist mind think right now. It's doublethink. Children are having nightmares about climate change, study finds. You know, Savannah Hernandez has been on to talk about that. And this is their point. They celebrate that. They want children to have nightmares about Trump. They want children to have nightmares about climate change. That's how they incorporate their political agenda. These are sick people. These are demons. These are the Democrats. These are demons. Super rich plan to live forever by implanting brains in human-like robots. Yeah, good luck with that. All right, your calls on the other side.
Infowars.com/show. The fight
for the future is now.
This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream at Infowars.com/show.
By the beard of Zeus. I actually stole the beard of Zeus. I'm wearing it right now. Welcome back to the InfoWars War Room. We're taking your phone calls. Final two segments here. We got a lot of first-time callers we're going to go to first. Lines are pretty much full up now. So if you try to call in, you probably won't get through. Let's not waste any more time. Let's start with first-time caller Jacob in California. Go ahead, Jacob.
What's up, man? How you doing? Hey, I just want to say thank you. I've been listening to you guys for a while now. I got a couple concerns about this coronavirus. You know, I'm 26 years old. I kind of barely started getting on this being awake with Alex and Yeah, it's just crazy, man. The stories out here seem like there's like a media blockout about it, like in this small-ass city and like other cities around it.
Well, here's what I think is going on. I think that there's a kind of a give and take here. Some people want to hype up the coronavirus in the media to get Trump. Other people are unsure of what's going on, so they don't want to report on it. Other people see the reporting about it being a man-made virus and just don't even want to touch it as fears of being labeled a conspiracy theorist. So it's really a complex issue. And again, my biggest fear is not the coronavirus itself. My biggest fear is government seizing control over fears of the coronavirus, or the left trying to use the coronavirus outbreak to somehow demonize Trump, which they're already doing. And we're seeing all of it happen.
Yeah, and that's my point too. All these things that's going on, they're trying to shade of Trump. I'm a Mexican American, so like there's a whole bunch of rhetoric for my guy Trump, you know what I mean? But fuck them all, because man, this man is amazing.
Like, all right, we got to dump you. No cursing. We are on terrestrial radio, and even though I'm out of control, it is a family show. But Jacob, thank you for calling. Next time, call in. Just don't drop the F-bombs. All right. Other first-time callers. Bart in Florida. Go ahead, Bart.
Oh, great to talk to you, man. I've tried to get to connection with you and I for a long, long time. I'm originally an Arkansan, born and bred, rice farmer, crop duster up there. Northeast Arkansas, but Rush Limbaugh, wow. You know, I've been listening to Rush ever since he appeared, I guess, pretty soon after he came on, I know. And, when he received the Medal of Freedom there from President Trump, that was a really moving moment.
I cried my eyes out that whole night. I couldn't believe it.
I did, too. And the next day when y'all came on and was talking about it again, those scumbags that wouldn't even stand up or even acknowledge his significance, man, that was beyond, we don't have any language to describe that.
Well, and that's why when I saw that interview, I wanted to air it, because it moved me even more feeling some of that same stuff that Rush was dealing with then. But then knowing Rush is still on top, it's just like the same thing of electing Trump, a middle finger to Hollywood, a middle finger to the establishment, a middle finger to the mainstream news. Like, you can't beat America. Like, you can sit here and lie about America. You can lie about the Patriots. You can demonize all the things we say and we do, but you can't beat us. We're the silent majority. We have been since the 90s. We continue to win, and you hate it. But guess what? We're still here.
I've also been a longtime listener of Michael Savage, and, you know, I've been an admirer of Donald Trump my entire life. I've watched him and his development and his good times and bad. And had I followed some of his examples, I would be a lot better off today. But I want to just say about the products, man. I worked hard in agriculture for many years. If I had that turbo force and the brain force and the iodine as I have now and all of these wonderful products, man, they just work fine. Every time. And I just want to say that. And I found Alex on a shortwave radio that I cobbled together back about 13 years ago. And, first time I heard Alex's voice, I said, wait a minute, this is where it's at. So I've been here every day since. I don't think I haven't missed a full day listening every, you know.
Well, it's just like what Limbaugh said. You know, we're trying to reach the same medium. We want to be a voice for the voiceless. And we know that this is populist. I mean, sometimes I rant and rave up here. It's a little wild, but it's still the populist. It's still what people are feeling in their soul, in their spirit. I'm just a physical manifestation of that live on the air. But God bless you, Bart. Thank you for your support at InfoWarsStore.com. I'm glad the products work for you. And by the way, I'm like hitting my second wave of the Turbo Force right now. I'm putting out a press release after the show today. You can find it exclusively on my Subscribestar. But I'm like rearing, like I kind of want to skip that and just go straight to the gym. But I'm going to put out that press release. But I'll be buzzing on this energy from the Turbo Force till 10 o'clock tonight. Let's go now to another first time caller, Philip in Georgia. Go ahead, Philip.
Hey, how are you today?
I'm good.
I've been listening to Alex since, I guess, the mid 90s before 9/11. Are you there? Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. The main thing is, as far as like the legal things and all with the government and the Democrats totally ignoring the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, and then now you have selective law enforcement. I don't know how much more we can do by just voting people into office. They all seem to just avoid it. There's not much I can do on that. But the main thing I wanted to talk about, which might actually help some people, is there are ways to help control this coronavirus. There's a new, it's not new, but the UV light spectrum, I don't know if you're familiar with that. The new lamps, they're called an FAR UVC lamp, kills the coronavirus and every other virus. It can kill the virus in 1/5 of a second of exposure, but the lamps aren't generally out in the public at this point. If somebody would put the lamps out, you could put a lamp.
But wait a second, wait a second. I don't know the background of this. Maybe you can answer this. They recently just changed all basically any public light, street lights, whatever. They just changed the type of light they use. Is there any connection there? Because, I mean, now you're talking about like the 5G rollout, how they've changed all the lighting to this low light crap to save energy. Oh, now are you telling me we're going to learn that now under this new lighting, like disease breakouts could be worse because they're using different lights? I mean, this sounds crazy, but is that what you're saying?
This type of light has never been used for that purpose before. It's in heavy industry. They've used it for clean rooms to where you'd walk into the room. You'd see it like in the movies all the time. The guy walks in and then spins around.
Okay.
That's what this light will do.
Okay. And you know what? Now I'm remembering this too, because they sell these little things too. It's the same deal, but you can put like your cell phone in it and it like erases all, you know, any viruses or any, you know, germs or whatever that's on your cell phone. I've looked into that too. Because obviously your cell phone, you're touching it, you're touching everything. It, you know, a hub basically for germs and stuff. So I have seen that before. That's interesting. You don't hear about that in the mainstream news. Using ultraviolet light to kill viruses. Why is nobody talking about that with the coronavirus? Very odd. Thanks for the call, Philip. Leo, first time caller in Minnesota. Go ahead, Leo.
What's up, Owen? Minnesota Proud Boys, man. We actually met at the Alex Jones rally out there, tore up downtown with the boys, Rufio and them. But, yeah, I got the same concern as you, bro. I just feel like they're going to weaponize it against Trump, and you already see the usual suspects coming out and doing that. So I feel like that's what we got to worry about.
Well, they know that they can blame an economic crash or a stock market crash on Trump. They know they can really just blame anything on Trump. The average, you know, audience member of CNN has such a low IQ anyway. And then they have their echo chamber with the Mockingbird press to legitimize it, even though it's totally fabricated. Just look at Russian collusion. So, I mean, these are sick people, man. This is why Trump calls them the fake news. This is why Trump calls them the enemy of the American people. And they just continue to prove to be just that.
Look, I'm out here in Minnesota, man, and I plan on going to the 3M headquarters tomorrow with the MAGA phone and a couple of the Proud Boy brothers and, you know, getting on that thing and letting Mike Pence know that he got to watch out for the CDC, too, and the deep state, because they are in every element of government.
Yeah, and that's kind of the weird thing, whether it was intentional or not with President Trump. I mean, they've taken the mask off, man. I mean, at the top of almost every federal bureaucracy has been some sort of politicized, corrupt dirtbag, and it's been exposed.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
All right, we've got some other just crazy news developing right now. We'll have to get to it tomorrow. But you got Joe Biden now saying he'll up the minimum wage to $45 an hour. Now, that's obviously in some sort of competition against Bernie. The funny thing is, if you actually followed the minimum wage law based on inflation, that actually might be where it's supposed to be. But people just ignore that law. And then in New York, that's key if you've been following the War Room. In New York, a man has just been sentenced to 775 years in prison for filming sex abuse of an infant, basically filming child rape, folks. And that's what it is when you talk about child porn. It's child rape. And I'm just going to stop right there before I go off on that jag. but we know what's been going on here. We found out about Epstein. We found out about Anthony Weiner. We've had major sex ring shutdown in California, Florida, New York. This is really going down under President Trump. Thank God. Thank God. And so just pay attention to New York, ladies and gentlemen. All right, let's go back out to the phone calls. Final segment here. First time caller still on the line. Miss Mickey in Georgia, first time caller. Go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Owen.
Hello.
Hi, I love you. Okay. Anyway, I'm Black. I'm an immigrant. And I'm a proud conservative. My name is Real Miss Mickey on Twitter. And I just wanted to say about the bodies. I had knee surgery on my knee. Nothing helped. I put the bodies. I'm still taking it. And it's so freaking awesome. It's like the best product. All right. So the next thing I wanted to talk about was your opinion on the virus and the borders. I think you're totally wrong. I think Trump should shut everything down, the borders, all international flights, and like check everybody coming in and out.
Hold on a second. I just want to be, I'm a little confused here because you said I was totally wrong. Did you mean to say that? Because I actually said that exact thing. We should shut the borders down, shut all international flights down. Did I not make that clear? Because I agree with that.
You were like kind of sarcastic. You were like, are they going to be like checking everybody's saliva and blood? And
well, that's no. Okay, let me be clear then. Okay, let me be clear then, Miss Mickey. What I'm saying is I'm afraid because they're not going to do the common sense thing like you said, which is suspend all international travel and shut down the border. Instead, they're going to keep all of that going and then say, well, we'll just provide all these checkpoints and check your fever and check your blood and all this stuff. I understand if there's confusion there. No, I'm agreeing with you. And that was my preface that I've been saying all week. In fact, I was saying it last week in D.C. at all these events we had. Trump needs to double down on this to fulfill a campaign promise of strong borders. Shut down the border till we know what's going on with the coronavirus. You just heard from the Chinese government. They don't even know what the hell's going on. Still outbreaking right in Wuhan. Shut down and suspend all international travel. Now they're saying that it's Italy. The new reports are saying Italy is where all the cases are coming from that are going worldwide. So, yeah, use this opportunity to go with your campaign promise and common sense, strong border security, stop all the illegal immigration. I'm afraid they're not going to go with that common sense approach, and instead they're going to go with the totalitarian Orwellian government approach, which is keep all of that going so the virus spreads. But now they have an excuse to literally have a checkpoint outside your door. So you can't even walk around in the grocery store now without getting checked. In China, I'm afraid they want to try to bring that to the West. So that's what I was saying.
I think he's going to be doing that, but I think we're on good course. Thank you, Owen.
All right, Miss Mickey, thank you for calling. All right, first-time caller in California, Ron. Go ahead.
Owen, I just want to make two quick points. First point is, and this is big, we can no longer use the internet for research. I mean, we no longer have access to the truth. I mean, Alex always says, you know, don't take my word for it. Do your own research. Well, guess what? That no longer works. You cannot find anything. Let me give you an example. I'm researching vaccines and muscular dystrophy. I have to go through 20 pages of ABC, NBC, CNN, NPR, New York Times, Washington Post, Wall Street Journal, all with fake stuff. And what they're saying is, hey, special needs child needs special protection. Make sure their vaccine schedule is up to date. Or special needs child are susceptible to getting the flu.
Well, let's be clear about this, though. Let's be clear about this. I would imagine you're using Google.
I am not using Google. I haven't used Google since 1995.
So what are you using to get these search results?
I'm using Start Page and Firefox, and it is browser dependent.
Okay, but what search engine are you using is what I'm asking.
Start Page.
I'm not familiar with that as a search engine.
It's also called XQuick.
So what I'm saying is Google is 110% rigging their search results. 110% has been proven. I don't think we can. I mean, where are you going to go for research? I mean, nobody really prints stuff anymore. Libraries aren't documenting things like they used to. Everything's on the internet. So unless you know sources and can memorize every source ever, search engine optimization is the only way to really do this. The problem is everybody goes and uses Google, assuming that's the best results. Google rigs their results. So to me, it's really about finding other search engines that are not rigging results and giving you the real results with the keywords and the search results in the most, you know, popular links or what have you that give you the best answers, which is not Google.
Right. Well, I don't know what, like I said, I haven't used Google since 1995. The only one I know that's supposedly the best is Startpage.
There's a lot. Yeah, we've got Yippee, which good people have started Yippee. I'm looking more into that. There's Swiss Cows. There's DuckDuckGo. So there is competition, but it's, I mean, competing with Google, it's like the same thing. Like, yeah, oh, create your own platform. But you can't compete with these people. They buy up the competition. They have all the money in the world. They have all the data storage they need. You can't compete with them. It's not a fair market. That's why we need to have antitrust investigations. Thanks for the call, Ron. Herman, first-time caller in Virginia. Go ahead.
Yo, Owen. Been listening for the whole time you've been on air. Great stuff. The whole thing with the government seizing power with the coronavirus thing, we the people are the authorities in America. That's the whole idea. So I think we the people need to tell the deep state that we see this operation coming and we're not going to just go along with it. If they show up in hazmat suits, we're not just going to give up our rights because we're afraid of kind of a bad flu. And I think because they're bullies and because they're weak people that would even attempt something like that, that'll make them back down. If they know that there's going to be a fight, if they try to do that, they're not going to try to do it. Or they're much less likely to try to do it because they have no spine.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's kind of like with a bully. The bully goes after the one individual who never stands up. You stand up to the bully once, the bully never goes after you again. It's the same thing. This government, which has now become politicized by the left wing, they're a bunch of bullies. They bully you if you wear a Trump hat. They bully you if you're pro-life. They bully you if you're Christian. They're just a bunch of bullies. Soon as we stand up to these people in mass, it's game over. The problem is we don't.
You know what their plan is. Alex Jones had it in a documentary 13 years ago that they're planning to use biological warfare to bring in world government. This is their last ditch attempt to re-enslave the public before we take our stuff back.
Yeah, that's a great point with the Trump administration and the president being Donald Trump as the backdrop. Absolutely. They're going for broke here. And you hope when all the chips fall, we're still free. I mean, I'll just leave it at that. I mean, that's what this comes down to. And they can come and try to take the guns. It's not going to go well. They don't want to have that. That there's no scenario where that ends in more government control. But with this coronavirus, it's kind of a different story.
It scares people. So they'll be more willing to let a guy in a hazmat suit come take their guns than a guy in a regular police outfit. Mm-hmm. But we know that it's not that bad of a disease. This is not airborne Ebola. It's bad, but a lot of people have probably already had it. I think myself included, I think probably.
Yeah, I agree with that too. And again, the guy called in about the UV light, that was already on WebMD. I didn't even know about this. I mean, it's just like, this is common sense stuff, but they don't want you to know a cure. They want you to be afraid. Thanks for the call, Herman. All right, last caller, Ryan in Massachusetts. You got 60 seconds. Go ahead.
Hey, Owen. Wow, I originally wanted to call in because of the Rush Limbaugh piece. Like you said, completely eye-opening. It was, more things stay the same, the more they change kind of thing. There are so many directions I could go with this. I can't fit it all in. In 60 seconds, they were, I'd say, back then, fairer to Rush and gave you more an idea of stuff he actually says than they've ever done with Alex. Like when Megyn Kelly did her hit piece on Alex.
Yeah, you notice it with Alex. It's just guns out, knives out, just kill him. They don't even give him a chance.
Right, right. And I don't know what that clip was of Rush slapping his butt, but it was pretty funny and kind of reminded me of Wacky or Alex. Not that he's ever done anything like that. Well, maybe. But because I've always seen in sort of a weird parallel between them where they're kind of the same archetype. Rush is more the mainstream conservative version. Alex was the conspiracy theorist version. But weirdly, in the Trump era, they've gotten closer and almost become more.
Well, and here we are, Ryan. Thank you so much for the call. Amazing, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. That does it for today. You stay classy, Info Warriors.